Perek Beis Mishnah Tes Harichayim Shel Pilpulin Temeya Mishum Shlosha Kalim. Harichayim Shel Pilpulin is a grind that you used to use to grind the pepper, to make it into a pepper spice. It could become Tamei because of three Kalim, three utensils, meaning the actual Harichayim, this grinder, has three parts to it, and even if one of the parts broke, okay, the remaining two parts can still be susceptible to tumah, susceptible to becoming defiled, because this one grinder is divided into three separate portions. So it can become tumah in three different areas. And even if one of the pieces broke, the other two parts can become tumah. Because the halacha follows, if a utensil breaks, it no longer can become tumah. So here, what they're going to teach us now is that even if one or two of the parts are broken, that third part can still become tummy because it's three separate components. And others explain that if one part, shim nitvazeh, lo nitvazeh, if let's say one part of the grinder became tummy, then the other part not necessarily is going to become tummy either. Because, afilu b'shas melach, even while you're using it, and they're all connected, they're all, you know, together, because since each one is a utensil in and of itself, they're deemed separate from the laws of tumah. So let's see. Mishum kli kibul. The lower portion of the grinder is the kli kibul. It's this like wooden utensil that's used to receive the pepper after it's grounded. And that becomes tamei in and of itself. It's a kli kibul. It's a utensil susceptible to tumah. It's a receiving. It's got the receiving part of it that it receives the pepper. And a wooden utensil that has a receiving portion to it, has like a base to it, that can become tamei. So that's the first part of it. The second part is mishum kli matros. The upper portion of the grinder is made out of metal, and that's what they use to grind the pepper. That can become tamei because of a metal kli. A metal utensil is susceptible to tumah. And even if there's no base kibul, there's no receiving end. So a wooden utensil, the lower part of the grinder that receives the ground of pepper, it's wood. So maybe you think it's not susceptible to tumah, but because it has a base kibul, it has a receiving portion, it receives the pepper, then it can become susceptible to tumah. Whereas the top portion is metal. So once it's metal, you don't have to have a base kibul. It doesn't have to have a receiving part of it. It gets to be a grinder, and then from there, the pepper, you know, falls into another area. But the mere fact that it's made out of metal, even though it's not receiving anything, it's only crushing, that will make it tumah as well. Umishum kli kvar. And the third part of it is the middle part. The middle part's also made out of wood, but because it has a kvar, it has like a sifter to it, to sift out the dust particles that you'd use as the pepper, and to prevent the big chunks from coming in. So that's chashuva afika kli kibul. That sifter part is considered a receiving utensil. It's got like a receiving end to it, and therefore is susceptible to tumah. So the idea here is that we learn a number of things. Number one, this sifter, this grinder has three components. So if one of the parts become tumah, not necessarily are the other, right? That's one point. Second thing is that wooden utensils in general are not going to become tumah unless they are serving as a receiver. That's what we see over here. And then third is a metal utensil, even if there's no receiver part to it, it's just grinding. So that automatically is, you know, once it's metal, it's always going to be susceptible to becoming tumah because it's metal and metal is more stringent. Okay. That's Mishnah Tes. Now we'll do Mishnah Yud, and with this we'll finish Perek Beis. Agala Shel Katan. Agala Shel Katan is these kids used to have like these little wagons, and they would push them and lean on them in order to help them walk. Temeya Midras. It is susceptible to tumah, to becoming defiled from the tumah of Midras. Midras is, I'll explain it right now. So if this katan, if this minor is a zav, he had some kind of emission from his body that made him impure to the status of a zav. So he is tamei, and not only is he tamei, but he could, if he touches this wagon by leaning on it, he makes it tumas midras. Midras is like leaning. The action of leaning on it makes it tamei. So much so that the zav was an av hatumah. This kid is a primary tumah. Normally when he touches something, the tumah levels go down with each thing he touches. If he touches the cup and then the cup touches something else, each level goes down, you know, one level of tumah to a lower and not a stringent state. Whereas over here, because he's a zav and he's leaning on this wagon, he makes the wagon tumah, even to an av, to a primary status, which is a chiddush, is something, not the standard. Normally, it goes Av is a primary, then Rishon is a first, and second degree, and third degree. There's different degrees of Tumah. But here, since he's a Zav, and he's leaning on the wagon, leaning is more stringent, and he makes the wagon not just a first degree, but a primary itself, an Av HaTumah. And it's not just for leaning. If you're leaning, sitting, or laying on a utensil which is meant for leaning, sitting, or laying, like a chair, or a bed, or this walker for the kid, these things, davka, are going to have this stringency of becoming an av, of taking on the exact component of the tumah that it's coming from, and becoming a primary in this case, not just going down a notch to a first degree or second degree or anything like that. So this utensil, this wagon is meant for leaning, and he's leaning on it, becomes a tumah of an av level, an av tumah. Vinny tell us b'Shabbos. On the other hand, however, since it is a utensil nonetheless, it's not just like a stone, it's considered non-muktzah. And if it's Shabbos, and he wants to, you know, use it, he could. It's not a muktzah item. There ain't a negreres, but it cannot be dragged on Shabbos or Yom Tov on the ground. El al gavi kelim, only on top of like clothing. Clothing that's lying on the ground, you could drag it, you know, over the clothing. But not on the actual earth. Because you can make a charis, make a furrow in the earth, and that's like digging on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is strictly prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol kelim in negrarin, any kind of utensil you cannot drag on the earth on Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Chutz min ha'gala, he has the exact opposite, except for this very wagon that is permitted to drag it on the earth on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because it's only pressing the earth beneath it. It's not moving the earth to make a furrow. It's pressing the earth. And therefore, he says the exact opposite. He says this would be permitted to drag. Because you're just pressing the earth. You're not creating a ditch. Whereas everything else is prohibited to drag on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And the Gemara explains that the truth is that even the first part of our Mishnah is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. That holds that something which is not mischavein, you don't have the intention to do something, nevertheless, usher, it's prohibited, okay? Like we said, let's see over here. Meaning when you're dragging this bench, for example, if your intention is not to make a furrow, maybe it should be permitted, because it's not what your intention is. So what the Gemara is teaching us over here is that even the first part of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that something which is not mischavein, it's not what your intention is. You're dragging the bench, but you don't want to make a furrow. Nevertheless, it's prohibited. But there's just two Tanaim that are arguing in the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So like this. One Tana holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you drag a wagon, ein hagala negeres el agabi kelim, you can only drag the wagon on top of clothing. Why? Because since the clothing's not there, it'll make a ditch, make a furrow in the ground. It's prohibited to drag it on Shabbos or Yom Tov because of chofer you're digging. And even though it's not your intention, Rabbi Yehuda holds, davar she'ena mischaven is also something that you do which is not your intention, nevertheless is prohibited. Whereas the other Tana says that no, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, he says that Rabbi Yehuda never prohibited a wagon to be dragged by a miner on the earth on Shabbos or Yom Tov. No, it's not a problem. Because you're just pressing the earth into the ground, and you're not creating a ditch, and therefore it would be okay. And then they say over here, they already mentioned that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're doing something with your intention is not to do what you're doing, nevertheless it's prohibited. Like the example here, you're dragging a bench because you want to sit on it. You don't mean to dig a furrow in the ground, in the cases where it was dig a furrow. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says it's prohibited, right? Because at the end of the day, you're making a furrow. But according to halacha, we don't paskin like him. Rather, we go like a pshimin. A pshimin who holds that a person could drag a bed or a chair or a bench on Shabbos or Yom Tov, as long as it's not what your intention is. Even if a furrow is actually created, we're lenient because that's not what your intention is. And we paskin that a davar she'ena mischaven is actually mutter, something that you're doing, that your sole intention is not for the actual action, but for something else. You're dragging the bench because you want to sit on it. You don't want to make a ditch in the ground. We actually lenient, it'll be okay. And that goes like a Shimon, not like a Yehuda. And that wraps up Mishnah Yud and Perek Beis.